Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and on tonight's episode number 129 for September, what is today's date? I have lost today's date already. Man, what a great start. September 10th. It is the 9th, but this will come out on the 10th. Blew that opening. All right, let's move on past that. Joining us on tonight's podcast, we got the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hi.
We've got future TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil.
Hello, hello, hello.
No, hey, hey.
We've got Hunter Nix. What's going on, Hunter?
What's going on, guys?
And joining us is also Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan? And Nathan is muted, but I'm sure he said hi. And we have a special guest on tonight's episode, a TCU graduate from 1982, the 1988 athletic coordinator of TCU Athletics. He was named the Associate Athletic Director of Internal Affairs in 1999 and was the department's Associated Director of Athletics for the last 8 years of his career. Jack Hasselbrock. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing wonderful.
Everybody knows and loves Jack.
Yeah. Everybody loves Jack.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
It only works when Ryan does it, though. So for tonight, we're going to go over, we've got some, even though TCU football was out this week, we do have some Frogs in action, so we'll go over that in just a minute. We will kind of discuss a little bit about the how the Big 12 did. Obviously, we're going to want to talk about that Texas-LSU game, as well as a couple of our conference mates, throwing up a bit of a surprise in week two. But then we're going to move on to TCU and Purdue, but in between all that, we're going to introduce a new segment on the podcast, and that's why we've got Jack on tonight, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we do that, Ryan, if you would please, why don't you run us down a little bit about how Frogs did in action outside of football this week?
All right, happy to do so. Well, I'll start off by talking about women's cross country. So we have sophomore Mariah Castillo. She became the first Horned Frog to place first in a 5K since Agnes, these names get me each week, but Kimboy, I think in 2012. And TCU captured first and third, actually. The third place was junior Evelyn Mandel, and she, I just totally screwed all that up. Anyway, we captured first and third place, and then the team actually captured fourth place overall, and the boys' team captured third place. So their next run is on September 14th, this next weekend, in Dallas at the Gerald Ritchie Invitational. So if you're local, you could actually go out there and support them. All of this that I'm talking about can be found on the RiffRam app that you can download on your phone, where I get all this information. TCU Volleyball fell just short this weekend at the Fight in the Fort, but it was their sixth sellout crowd to open the season, which marks the most consecutive full houses to begin a season in program history. And if you've never been to a TCU volleyball game, go. And Jack, he can actually tell us even more about it because he was at every single game himself. And that gym is electric. It's so much fun. Even if you don't know a thing about volleyball, it just doesn't matter because it's just such a fun environment and volleyball is really enjoyable to watch. So go out there and support our girls. They will actually be hosting another tournament, Miami and Auburn, and it's called the Adran Cup, and they will face Miami on Friday at 6 p.m. And then lastly, TCU women's soccer, they are on fire. They have now won 5 straight games in a row, and they beat the Ohio State University this week in Fort Worth.
Did Mike pay you to say the? I'm just curious.
No, but he never could understand why on Killer Frogs we always wrote little T OSU. And he was like, why do y'all do that? And I said, because OSU is Oklahoma State University to us, and plus, I mean, it's kind of the dig. Plus, y'all are about to aren't they about to patent, or it's not a patent, what, coin, trademark? Yeah, trademark, there's the word. Yeah. The OSU, yeah, or Ohio State, whatever, you know. Anyway, we're talking way too much about Ohio State right now. So next up for women's soccer, they're going to be in Houston this Thursday at 7 p.m. So those of y'all listening in Houston, go support the girls down there. They're amazing to watch. Another fun game to watch. So make sure to follow all these sports, typically at TCU, and then followed by the sport. So at TCU Golf, at TCU Soccer, at TCU Volleyball, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yeah, it's good to see the women's soccer team pick up after they finished last year. So that's really nice. Doing an awesome job.
Yeah,
felt a little bad for the TCU volleyball team because they started off strong and they kind of stumbled a little bit this last week. But you're right, if you haven't gone and seen a game live, you've got to do that because it's amazing. It's an electric atmosphere. So
yeah, and they'll get better. They're still a really, really young team, and the game on Saturday went into 5 matches, so it's not like, I mean, they're right there. They're just got to have it fall their way, and it'll start to do that.
It will. Jill's got that team going, and that's going to be a lot of fun moving forward. So, all right, well, we're going to take a quick little pause and thank our sponsor this week. And, of course, if you like to watch football like we all do, and I'm sure some of us, Shannon, did you watch any of the NFL this weekend?
Oh, you better believe it, brother.
Oh, yeah. Cowboys looked pretty good, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
They did.
Look what I saw.
I tell you what, I wish I had placed a bet, and I know next week I know exactly the place to go to place that bet, and that's going to be our sponsor this week, which is mybookie.com. So if you want to enjoy the convenience of at-home or on-the-go betting anywhere, anytime with the MyBookie mobile platform, go ahead and try it out today and never miss another winning bet. I wish I had placed that bet against the Giants because, whew, that was one heck of a game. Last season, as we were talking with many of our guests and reminiscing over many of the stories concerning TCU in the past, we realized there wasn't really one place where these stories were being recorded. So this season, we thought we'd bring in some various Horned Frog fans and TCU alumni to kind of talk about some of those stories in a segment we're going to call Memories of Purple Past. And this week's guest kicking us off is Jack Hesselbrock.
Let me just say how happy I am to be here. It's probably one topic I can talk endlessly about as a TCU and TCU athletics. I want to echo what Ryan said about the three sports. That rec center gets to rocking. It really does. And the job that Coach Bell has done with women's soccer is just unprecedented for us. And it's wonderful to see, you know, the goals become higher and higher. And, of course, the cross-country ladies, I think that's got to be the hardest sport in the world. I know, to me, just to think of running, I don't know. but the stories, I've got so many. Gosh, I was trying to think today of what to say and which one. And I know sometimes on the board there's talk about when Gary Patterson was hired and, you know, who was involved in that and, you know, who had faith and who was skeptical. And, of course, I always loved GP. You know, I've worked with him very close when he was the defensive coordinator on, you know, academic issues and things. He was kind of the liaison for that. But the day that I think the ball game, and I'll share this with the audience, the ball game that I knew beyond a shadow of the doubt that it was the right move to make him the head coach was the 2000 East Carolina game. And if you go back, you'll see that we dropped the ball game 36-30. And you're thinking, okay, what in that game told you Gary was the one? For some reason, I can't recall why I was even down by the locker room. Might have been to visit the little boys' room on my errands around the stadium. But I got caught in there as the team was coming in at halftime. And so I just took my seat in the back and, you know, thought, well, this might be a little bit of a tongue lashing because it was 30-6 at the time. And East Carolina kind of had their way. And in walks Coach Patterson. He grabs a grease board, and he's got the defense over there. And he says, guys, and he was so excited. He was just bubbling. And he takes out his marker and he says, "We got this. I've got this. We're going to stop their, you know what, in the second half. You just listen and do what I say." So he starts marking up on the board. And of course, it made no sense to me. It would Shannon. But it was, you know, he was just outlining the things they were doing and what he saw. And he said, we're going to shut them down and we can get a little offense going. We're going to get back in this game. Well, we didn't get back. We did get back in the game. Unfortunately, we didn't win it. But we were throwing in the end zone in the last three plays of the game, which, of course, if we would have scored with the extra point, we would have won 37-36. East Carolina was limited to two field goals in the second half, and one of them was on a turnover where they got great field position. But like Gary said, he knew and he shut it down. I mean, it was like two different ball games. And that just hit me because, I mean, it wasn't a lot of, you know, yelling or whatever. I mean, he was very, you know, he was very forceful in what he was saying, but he was teaching. And, mm-hmm. you know, for him to look out there and see what was going on and say, "I've got this," I was kind of thinking, it's 30-6, you know, what are we going to do? And sure enough, that team came out defensively and just dominated. And to think back on the 2000 team, and Shannon can add to this, I mean, we had lost so many of those guys from 99 and 98 years where we, you know, really had done well and went to the, you know, the three bowls. And there was a lot of young people on there. And, you know, for them to react that way just told me we've got the right person. We've got the right, you know, teacher. We've got the right type of, you know, enthusiast to take this higher.
So when did Patterson find out, or how did you guys figure out? You obviously knew, like you just said, from that game, Patterson was going to be the guy. You knew it. Mm-hmm. But when did the rest of the athletic department know that Patterson was going to be the guy?
Well, you know, he coached the year before as an interim against Southern Miss.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were all, you know, out of sorts. I mean, you could tell. And it's a game, if you play 100 times, we win that 99. But it was right after that particular ball game, early January.
So the athletic department was behind Patterson pretty early on then. It wasn't like a situation where they were still interviewing people, and then they just finally decided, "Nope, we're going to go with Patterson." It was pretty much from that point on, they knew, you guys know, it's going to be Patterson.
Well, no, not exactly, because one of the thoughts was from the athletic director, who was Eric Hyman. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, by doing a search, he said, it's better for Gary because it validates him. You know, it basically says we had these other candidates, and we talked to other people, and he was the best. And yeah. I thought that was very insightful, you know, from him and Dr. Kaler to look at it that way. Because myself, I was just looking, you know, let's get him in there and, you know, sign the contract before anybody changes their mind.
So how much of sorry, go ahead, Jack.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, so how much input did you get from Dr. Kaler versus Eric Hyman in this hiring?
Oh, Dr. Kaler was very instrumental in it, but as he did many times back then, he let the athletic director have the final say, but he was very strong. And in fact, there was one meeting that he and I and Eric had where we were, you know, just talking about it. And of course, you know, with the AD and the provost in there, I was kind of quiet, and Eric went and took a call from a candidate, and he said to me, he goes, "Well, what do you think, young lad?" And I said, "Well," I said, "if you want a ball coach, that's him. If you want somebody to win the press conference, you better keep looking." But I said, "That's not what wins on Saturdays. You know, coaching wins on Saturdays."
Well, you certainly nailed the press conference part of it, right?
Yes. Well, and he's become more and more comfortable with that. So, but he didn't care for that kind of stuff.
I mean, aren't these kind of the coaches we always are like endearing at this point, though? Like, as much as you don't, even if you're not a Patriots fan, like, you love Belichick's, like, just lack of care about any of that stuff. And so I very much think GP is the same way. Like, he cares about football. That's all we care about. And it's great. We're going to get at least a liner or two a week, you know?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's all football. You know, Nathan, you know, and Shannon, you know. I mean, he gets in that mood. It reminds me of last week. I was at a practice, and everyone knows how funny he is about the practices, who's out there. And I was there in shorts and a pair of sunglasses and a hat because it was 100-plus degrees. And not even probably 3 days earlier, I told him, you know, I'd like to come out. He said, "Oh, you come out anytime." Well, he looks over there, and he's just got that glazed look, and he starts coming over, and he gets Coach Summer to come over and tell me I need to leave. And then Donnie gets over there, and he says, "Oh, crap." He says, "Does he even know who you are?" I said, "No," and I waved at him. He kind of looked at me, and then he went on. he's all into it, you know. I mean, he's nothing else but Purdue right now. I mean, that's his whole focus.
Hey, Jack, I don't know if you remember this or not, but if you remember back, you know, going back to the hiring of Coach Patterson, and you helped us on this because we petitioned the seniors, the leadership council, the captains. We actually had a meeting with Hyman because Coach Schultz was putting his name in the hat, and we said, "No, you're not the guy." We told him flat out he wasn't the guy. And we actually went over and we petitioned and we met and knew it. We hadn't, you remember, we didn't have a coach. Fran had been gone, and we were pretty much running the show.
Yes.
The reason Patterson was able to coach us, we voted him to coach us in that senior in against that that bowl game.
Right.
We could have elected to go with somebody else or whatever the case may be, but we wanted him to be the coach. And so from there, we felt that he had a great shot. We knew back then he was the guy to run this program. We knew with everything he put in, we knew defense around that, around TC would win, you know, championships for us or whatever the case may be. So we rallied behind that. So I don't know if you remember, because you helped us kind of, you know, what do we need to do? Who do we need to talk to? And, you know, I think we had a couple meetings in there, Jack. You remember that?
No, I do. And I knew that probably from Sadler Hall, meaning Dr. Kaler, that would be very important to him, given the success of the program, you know, the first 3 years under Fran, that, you know, it wasn't broken. So why, you know, why start all over?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so the seniors, their opinion weighed heavily on the administration. Is that what you're saying, Jack?
Yes, it very much did.
That is fantastic. I mean, we were talking about the administration back in the 90s before we jumped on this podcast, and that was a completely different direction moving from Chancellor Tucker into Chancellor Ferrari, and the administration changeover that they had at Sadler going in the late 90s really kind of set the tone for TCU to make the move to where we are today.
Well, there became an attitude of, we're going to do this, meaning Division I athletics, we're going to do it right, and we're going to do it as well as TCU can. And if you know the history of the school, even academically, I've been in some meetings where there's been proposals on academic majors or even to discontinue an academic major. And it's been that philosophy, you know, like when we added engineering, we're going to have engineering, we're going to go out and get one of the top professors from Georgia Tech, you know, to lead us. If we're going to have the business school, we're going to have the finest, you know, in one of the finest in the state. You know, we're not going to just play at this game. And that changed dramatically, because that was an embarrassing moment. In fact, I was in Coach Windiger's office when Chancellor Tucker came down and told us that there was a Big 12 and that there wasn't any TCU in it. Mm. And I just wanted to to be ill. I couldn't believe it.
Well, we'll definitely have you back on to talk about those days, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions from Frog fans about some of the behind-the-scenes action, because there's a lot of myth, and there's not a whole lot of truth floating around there as far as what happened, especially given Baylor's take and perspective on that area. But do you have any have any stories for us about Purdue that we might be able to kind of kick off this week with?
Well, there is one, and it actually involves their basketball program, and it's quite comical. And if you were in school when Coach Tubbs was there, you know, he was always – there was always something new and unexpected.
Yeah.
To say the least.
And, at that time, I was working with both basketball and football on the non-conference games. And, of course, with heavy input from Franchione and Gary and obviously Coach Tubbs. But we decided to do a home-and-home in basketball with Purdue. But it was going to be at two neutral sites. It was going to be in Indianapolis, and then it would be at our convention center. And so the first year we go up to Indianapolis, and, of course, you know, lots of Purdue grads in that area and really filled it up. They beat us pretty good, maybe 15 or so. So the next year, Purdue comes in, and we're meeting that week, and Billy's talking to Chris Hall about when Purdue is going to practice. And I said, well, aren't we going to let him in down at the convention center? And Billy said, oh, we'll worry about that. And, you know, don't worry about it. It's okay. So, you know, we went on, and I was told by the basketball staff that we were going to have to play at Daniel Meyer because the convention center had a booking conflict that we didn't know about, and it was ice hockey. So Purdue and everybody was in agreement, and, you know, just it was an unfortunate thing, and, you know, it's just the way it's going to have to be. So anyway, we beat Purdue that night by about almost 30. And back then, when you would do the game checks, you would generally go down and either hand it to the associate AD or the, you know, the ops person, and they'd take it back, or you'd tell them, you know, where do I mail it or whatever. So I go down to the Purdue locker room, and Gene Cady is just beside himself, and he's not very happy. I mean, they'd just gotten beat very bad, and the guy that I was talking to was my peer, and I said, you know, has everything gone okay? And he said, well, that was kind of dirty pool which y'all pulled. And I said, what do you mean we pulled? And he said, there was no game at that convention center. We looked up the hockey schedule, and there was no conflict. You could have played there. You just didn't want to do it. You wanted to play us in here. And so, yes. So the game is, I mean, they're on their way to the bus, and I see Coach Tubbs, and I said, well, fine game. You know, we got after a really good Big Ten contender. And I said, Coach, were they told there was a hockey game down there? And he said, you know, they asked me about that. And he just grinned.
Oh, man.
So it was completely – they were led on to believe it was that there was a conflict until they checked themselves, and it was way too late to make the change. But he told me when I met with him, he said, I will never come back and play TCU with him here. And I thought, what is wrong? I mean, you know, you got beat, but that's pretty strong words.
Right.
But that's why he did it.
Gotta love Billy Thomas.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I felt right in the middle because their athletic director had called Eric, and Eric had asked me. And, of course, I was supposed to be the go-between, and I had no idea they had told the Purdue staff that. And, you know, the Purdue staff understood. They were okay with it until we beat them so bad, and then they realized that there was no hockey game at that arena that night.
Their first clue should have been hockey in Texas. That should have been their first clue.
Yeah, that was back when we did have a minor league team down there, though. But they didn't play that night.
Of all the things,
oh my goodness.
They could have pulled out it was a gun show, and they probably wouldn't have checked. But the fact that it was hockey, I'm sure that's probably why they did it, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh my goodness, gracious.
I was thinking to myself, here I am, and we're going to get a call from the Big Ten commissioner, and, the chancellor's going to get involved, and, who misled who told the story, because, I always protected the coaches. I mean, within reason, they were my guys.
So how much trouble did you get into because of that?
The administration kind of understood the head coach at the time, and they knew that it was probably set up by Billy.
That's a very political answer.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
But that was a human Coach Katie. I mean, he was very upset.
Oh gosh, I can imagine.
Yeah, that's wow. Crazy.
Well, that kind of left me speechless there, Jack. You left me a little speechless on that one. That's
just chapter one.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I think all of us who kind of went to TCU during the Tubbs era, I think we all kind of understood that there were shenanigans abound.
Yes.
So
I was
going to say hijinks, but shenanigans works too.
Either one.
Oh, take wow, your pick. That's amazing.
Well,
and
the thing about Billy is, if you had your, as he used to say, your oar in the water with basketball, then you were part of the rowboat. But he didn't like people coming in there, or, bandwagon jumpers or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So when he was questioned about it, one administrator in particular, he said, what do you care? You hadn't been to a basketball game all year. And
it's a good point. He does have a point.
Yeah, yeah.
We kind of feel like we're on Horn Frog Nation. Yeah, people on Horn Frog Nation will start griping about the attendance at the game, and I notice some people get on there and they're like, "Were you at the game? Because unless you're sitting at the game sweating like we are, then you really can't gripe about the attendance." It's like, goodness.
No, absolutely not.
Well.
Well, Jack,
we appreciate you coming on. Man.
Definitely. Thanks for coming on and sharing those stories with the rest of us Horn Frogs, because those are precious memories of Purple Past. So thank you very much for that, Jack.
Well, anytime, and I've got many more. we could
Well,
talk,
we definitely want to hear them.
Yeah, we can.
Next time, I need to hear you like dog on WC.
I know.
That's what I want. I want WC stories that he won't tell us.
Well, Jack, got time for a quick WC story? Since he isn't on the podcast tonight.
Old Dubber.
Exactly.
Well, what he won't tell you is when I first started in academics, we had a study hall over in the rec center down in that bottom floor. And Coach Wacker at the time, he wanted them up at study hall by 7 and then at breakfast check by 8:15. So every morning it was a 7 a.m. And Deborah was one of the GAs at the time.
Okay.
So he got to partake in that. And there were several times some of the guys would come in and I'd say, well, how was study hall this morning? And they'd go, well, we got out early, or somebody didn't show up on time. And it always tended to be big number 69.
Yeah, he didn't come to play school is what I'm understanding, but
Deborah, and then of course this was when he was just dating Jennifer, and so I'd tell her stuff, and she'd look at him and she'd say, "Can you be serious about anything? Can you be responsible?"
I can.
Oh my gosh, he said that. But
he was my sidekick. He was very loyal to those study halls, even if he got there late or left early.
Yeah, I will say this: he's still not very serious about much, unless it's game day. Then don't talk to him. Like then, other than that, like you know, he's good. But game day, don't talk to him. Even now.
Well, and there was another member of that graduate assistant pool that helped me. That's a very, very elite individual, and that was Mr. Dan Sharp.
Okay.
Aww.
Yeah. So we had Dan, and we had Dubber. So you know. They're still around, and they're frogs to the core.
Definitely.
Well, I'm dating myself here. This is bad.
No, it's great.
That's okay. Oh, my goodness. We all got called old by somebody on Twitter the other day, so, hey, it's all good. So.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, no doubt. He did call us old. And then Nathan jumped in. I was so relieved.
That's good. Jack, I don't know if you're going to be around next week for any of the Hall of Fame stuff, but buddy, you know how I feel about you. And I was going to call you and tell you this, but you know, since we're on now, I'll let you know, man. I love you and appreciate everything you've done for me. And you've done a lot for me. You've done a lot for a lot of us. And we've had many a conversation in your office and just about life.
Yep.
As a player, I've tried to, you know, be there for you for the good, the bad, the ugly, and vice versa. So you mean a lot to me, buddy, and I wish you well. And I just want to thank you because I knew you spoke some good words behind closed doors about me, and I didn't want that to go unknown. And I appreciate you, buddy. I really do.
Well, you're welcome, and you guys and Nathan, you're included. Anybody that's ever put on that uniform, man, woman, that's the only reason I did it. I mean, that was always my cherry on top of my cake.
Yeah.
It's a great place to work, as we all know, and be around and support. But I got my joys out of the young men and women, cheerleaders, mm-hmm. showgirls, band, you name it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty special place, for sure.
It is. For and sure. I'm glad that it's that way. And most people feel that way there. That wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, TC's a special place, and Jack, you're one of the guys who made it special.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
So we all appreciate it.
So, Jack, just to round it out, I mean, you graduated in 82. So does that mean you started in – what year did you start? Did you do the 4 years, 5 years? You started in the 70s, right?
Yes, I started. No, that's okay.
I think it's amazing. Ryan,
he was just complaining that he feels old, and you're bringing up the 70s?
Come I know. On. No, well, I'm before the turn of the century as well, but we all are, except for one person on this. But no, I just think that right there, that just shows how special Jack is and that he got to kind of eclipse the 70s and then the 80s and the 90s and then the early 2000s and then the whatever we're going to call the next decade of the 2000s. I mean, that is amazing. Just the story, just the probably the timeline that you have in your head of seeing TCU and everything she went through and what she's become, you know, all those years. So it's pretty neat good to have you.
Yeah, I did start in the late 70s and used to be very frustrated as a fan because, you know, things were not going well and some of those big state schools, well, and then that one across the Metroplex that we're going to hammer next week from Saturday, they all laughed at us, you know, they looked down their noses at us. And I knew they were doing things that were not right. And nobody cared. Nobody cared. And, you know, there was, oh, gosh, I remember one game where we were playing A&M here. And, you know, they'd kicked a field goal to make it, you know, 53-6.
Mm.
And then the the place kicker claimed that he lost his balance as he approached the tee and he slipped, and they recovered an onside kick and they were trying to throw even late.
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
And you know, so that just those will never go away. Same with the University of Texas.
Was that the Jackie Sherrill era when he was doing that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, we don't talk about him in our house.
Yeah. Yeah, he would always too get up, and this was just a shot at us and Coach Wackers post game. He would always say how lucky he felt to come in and get the win, because we had some of the most highly ranked talent in the conference. In other words, we couldn't do anything with it.
Mm. Oh.
And I just remember him saying that, and I don't know, it just didn't ever fly with me, and there's several of them that didn't.
Yeah.
But no, the actual affiliation started in the 60s. I mean, I had an older brother and sister that went there.
Oh, wow.
So I would go up on – they didn't have family weekend then, but they had a little brother, little sister weekend, and I'd go up and stay and go to the games and stuff.
Oh, so that's neat. Kind of.
So you got to experience the years we were in Lavender then.
I did see some Lavender, yes.
My favorite. I've noticed more Lavender in the bookstore lately. Just saying, I think they're trying to ease it back in. Makes me happy.
Well, just make sure Nike doesn't see it, because it'll end up in our uniforms again.
I've never seen a picture of one of them in that. It's not bad. It's pretty sharp.
I like it. I personally like it. Yeah.
I think that's just because all the pictures are faded from that era. I'm just saying.
I think it would be cool as a throwback. And then they could sell them. They make a lot of money off those. So
yeah.
Everybody would be happy.
Throwback if they could do one Lavender game and one Flying Tea game.
I know. They'll never do the Flying Tea.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Oh, well. We'll figure that out.
No, you're probably right there.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Jack, appreciate you joining us tonight. Really do. And thank you again for all the stories. And we'll definitely have you back to tell more, because these are fantastic. So thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. My pleasure.
And with that, we're going to move on, and we want to thank our other sponsor. This year, the TCU, the Killer Frogs team at Game Day, is actually sponsored by Black Clover USA. So if you haven't seen these yet, we've got these unbelievable hats. We'll post them on Game Day against SMU next week. But Black Clover USA, for those of us who are reminiscing about, you know, memories of Purple Past, I think we all remember the dearth of merchandise from the 80s and the 90s and the early of 2000s, right? I mean, most of us, whenever we saw somebody wearing something purple that said TCU on it, it was an alumni. Trying to find any quality merchandise at that era was impossible. Well, thankfully, we now have some great quality merchandise, and Black Clover USA has got you covered and has us covered for Game Day. So if you're interested in seeing what they've got and you wanted to live lucky, and that's their mantra, go on to blackcloverusa.com, check them out, and order yourself some Live Lucky TCU merchandise. So thank you again, Black Clover USA. And moving on, we're going to do a quick rundown of the Big 12. We're not going to really focus on everybody here, because to be honest with you, who really wants to talk about Baylor or Kansas State when we can actually talk a little bit about, so Kansas is back to their winning ways.
Yep.
Did you guys notice 12-7 against Coastal Carolina? I'm sorry. I was really hoping Kansas would start the season out 2-0, but just bad. Hunter, what do you think?
Yeah. So, I've been reading a bunch about the Kansas deal, because their scholarship situation just baffles me. Mm-hmm. So they projected that the earliest they're going to have the full 85 is 2022. So, like, they can't compete until then. Like, they like, ruined the program with scholarships for so long. And now, like, Beatty had it the worst. He had, like, 29 when he got in there. But they're going to be at least, like, three or four more years till they can do it. Like, they're going to be bad for a while.
Yeah. And Les Miles has got one heck of a hurdle in front of him.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. But speaking of another team that has shocked in the opposite direction of what we were hoping for, and that's West Virginia, and they get pummeled by Missouri 38-7. So how far do you guys think West Virginia is going to fall this season?
Pretty far.
Second to last.
I give them maybe four games, man. Maybe. Yeah.
Do you think Kansas can beat them?
No.
Are we talking that far down?
Yeah. I don't know. Where are they playing? Who's playing where?
West Virginia is playing NC State.
Are you talking about later on when they play Kansas?
Oh, sorry. I don't know.
They're playing at Kansas.
I didn't compute.
No, sorry. They're going to be playing at Kansas. Yeah, that's in 2 weeks.
Kansas could beat them.
That's the Big 12 opener for them.
It's going to be their Super Bowl.
Yeah, KU could beat them, I think, at home. I don't think KU could beat them in West Virginia.
Right. I mean, KU beat us last year, so they can beat somebody, you know.
Yeah, we beat ourselves quite often last year, so yeah.
Yes.
Well, so enough talking about that. Everyone else around the league pretty much won their game as expected, except the delusional fans down in Austin who thought they were going to be able to beat LSU. And then we're talking about the Texas Longhorns, and Texas Longhorns come up short, 38-45 against the LSU Tigers. Sorry, Ryan, what were you going to say?
Well, I have a lot to say about this game. So, first of all, they should have beat LSU. It was the two field goals. Well, everyone thinks it's the drop pass at the end. But honestly, remember way back at the very beginning of the game when they didn't go for the field goal twice? And I remember sitting there going, that's just, they shouldn't do that. They're playing a top five team. Why would they not just get the points at least, you know, especially after the first time they missed it? But aside from that, Mike just sent me these texts, which I am sure y'all have heard about this, but talking about Billy Chubb earlier in his shenanigans, will, you know, the whole deal about putting the bands at the very tip top of the stadium, which I'm totally fine with. That's just whatever. Yeah. I mean, they did that to us. Now we're doing it to them, whatever. And we can still hear the bands, by the way, very loud and clear in our stadium.
Let's be honest. But the difference between top of the stadium at DKR and top of the stadium at Andrew Carter is about three Sherpas.
It is true. It's true. That's very true. But y'all, listen to this. Did you hear what they did to him in the locker room?
Yeah.
No. I didn't hear this
I just one. Read that. Those jerks.
Ogeron confirmed that they had no AC.
Yeah.
No LSU. Y'all tell the story.
Yeah. No ACs in the locker rooms.
And they brought their own fans, didn't they?
Yeah. Like,
they did bring fans.
Because La Tech said they also didn't have fans in there. And so they, brought fans. They supposedly called them before and told them, hey, they don't put any AC in the locker room, so they brought fans. And Del Conte came out with a thing on the internet or on Twitter saying that it was completely functional and like the locker room was totally fine, which just makes me think they did it even more. Right. So like if you're gonna come out and dispute it that quick, I feel like, yeah, you know, if you feel the need to do that at 8:30 at night on a Monday, you did it, right?
Now, here's the question. Did he do it on Twitter or did he do it through the official channels, like talk to the press?
It was through official – it was on Twitter, but official statement from Del Conte on, like, Texas Athletics Twitter or something.
Okay, so he didn't, like, call the Statesman and say, no, that's totally false, or he just went through Twitter and then threw out a statement. Okay, I know how that goes. Jack, what about you? Do you think that was legit?
Well, I was about to say, I've got several locker room stories over the years, and yeah, I think it was legit. there's been several in basketball and football. The other thing I wanted to add about the Kansas game is I'm sure Coastal Carolina took home a pretty good game guarantee.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because I know how those work. And funny story about one time with myself, we were playing I want to say it was like Stephen F. Austin in basketball, and we were losing at the half, and I had arranged to give them like, you know, 50 grand. And of course, we've went up to a million on some teams in football in the last couple of 3 years, but We make sure we're going to win the game. But we were losing at the half, and I had an administrator from Sadler Hall, Dr. Kaler. He called me over to the railing, and he said, pointed at the scoreboard, and he said, "Hesselbrock, is this what $50,000 gets you?" And just turned around and walked away. And, I mean, I had a lump in my belly, and I thought, oh, my God, we've got to win this game. And we came back and won by 11. But you're always sitting there as a, as somebody with the finance and the scheduling where you've paid people. You want to make sure you get that win and you get it pretty convincing.
Yeah, no kidding. So,
yeah,
let me pay you to beat us.
And with the way Patterson likes to coach, he's perfectly happy with a 1-point win. So I imagine you're always at the edge of your seat whenever you're talking about trying to win convincingly against any team.
Yeah. Right. And more recent ones that kept me on my edge was the South Dakota State a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people didn't care for that and, you know, how it was so high scoring. And I can remember people saying, "Who scheduled that?" And I go, "I don't know."
Good answer. Good answer. No, all right. No. So last question about going back to Texas LSU. So what do you all think? Do you think that – in the eyes of the nation, I know some of us on this podcast are happy that Texas lost, but in the eyes of the nation, do you think that Texas did well enough to at least bring some semblance of, I guess, legitimacy back to the Big 12 and how they played LSU? Or do you think that, as Hunter has claimed at the beginning of the season, this is just the first step of Texas kind of tumble to that kind of 7-8 win season?
No, I don't see that. I actually just taking everything out of it, not being by. I'm just you know, as Mark Cohen says, just be neutral. Texas, it was a hell of a game. They played their butts off, and LSU is listen. I knew LSU after that game. They're 1-2-3 team. I think they moved to 4. If LSU keeps playing like that, they will be in the mix. With that being said, LSU Texas had every opportunity to win that game, and they were in. And so to be honest with you, I didn't see that from Texas. I think just by looking at Texas, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. They're going to compete in the Big 12, obviously against us and Oklahoma, but they're going to compete this year. They're going to have a good season.
Mm-hmm. Hunter, what did you see?
I mean, I thought Texas looked good, but really, I just couldn't get over LSU can pass now, which is scary as all get out. Like LSU can throw the ball. They've been top 10 without being able to throw the ball at all. And now, like, I mean, we all knew who Jamar Chase was because he was almost a frog for a second. And then they've got, like, yeah, their receivers are just studs. It's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point, you have to admire that guy sat in the pocket and threw that thing like he's in the NFL already. I mean,
it was
comfortable. He was in a zone. There was nothing Texas could do to stop that guy.
No.
And that's not
for DBU.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll go into the DBU thing. you know, here, funny side story. So my son, who plays Little League Baseball, one of his coaches actually coaches at DBU. And they were laughing their butts off about that all weekend long.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that more than anything, it just scared me for like anyone who has to play LSU because they look good. I'm glad we don't got to play them.
Yeah.
Thank you. But goodness. I'm pretty sure you guys saw this and knew exactly what was going to happen because it went viral as soon as it happened. How would you wake up and it feel as the parents of the little boy crying that went viral?
I mean, yeah. Dude.
Okay. I mean, hold on. I have to add on this one. So immediately when that happened, and I'm like, I'm a very, like, I cheered up just when Jack was telling those stories. Like, I get emotional about everything. But when I saw that kid blasted on the TV, I immediately Facebooked Keith Robinson, and I was like, you have to immediately make a GIF right now. Like, you have to. And then, of course, I got just pummeled on Killer Frog's face. Well, I really didn't. There was like two people that were like, "You, this is beneath you. He's a 10-year-old kid." And then everybody else started diving in. They were like, but he was cussing in this dance. Like, he was dropping F-bombs. You know? He was. And the other flip side of that, I was like, why are y'all being so negative? Like, I've sat in the stands and done the same thing. Like, we've all been there. I mean, you kind of felt for the kid, and I kind of admired. But before I even found out that he was cussing, I was like, I've been there. I remember that long walk I had back from when we were came back and beat OU, and then came back and lost to SMU, and it was a long walk back to the car full of tears. Like, we've all been there. I thought it was hilarious, but man, you know, people just
listen.
And if you read the back of your ticket, also it states that you could be put on TV, so it's right there.
If you're going to be that passionate as a young kid, trust me, his parents know he's passionate. So, therefore, you teach the rules early on. So,
yes.
Never.
It might be the best lesson he's ever had.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You're going to be on camera. You're doing this, you're going to be on camera.
Right.
Yeah. The Surrender Cobra, the producers are looking in the stands for anybody who does it.
Oh, gosh.
Yep, that guy's doing it. Go.
Yep, absolutely.
Spotter, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, and that kid wasn't the only one that they caught on camera that day. I mean, there was plenty.
Not at all.
In that fourth quarter, it was bad. All right, well
and then,
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, think about it this way, too. Like, all the gifts that we have on our phone of kids that we text back and forth, put on Facebook left and right, you know, all the funny kids crying or picking their noses or whatever it is, those are real kids. we just plop them in our phones every day like they don't exist. So we have become a little numb to it. But you know what? He's of that generation. Like, I think they are kind of numb to that stuff more so than our generations are. But, oh, well. It is what it is.
Well, I think Shannon's right, though. I mean, you got a passionate kid like that. You got passionate parents. Gotta teach them, you know, hey, you can't win them all. And you have to have expectations, and you have to have a little bit of reality. And it happens, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, hey. You're Texas, get used to it. Anyway, so let's move on to Purdue this week. And the Foreign Frogs move up and are going to play the Boilermakers. And Purdue came off of that loss against Nevada to open up the season, and they end up beating Vanderbilt 42-24. Of course, it's Vanderbilt. I don't know if there's anything you can really take away from the first 2 weeks of Purdue football that really kind of helps us gauge what the Frogs are going to face on Saturday. Hunter, I'll start with you. What do you think?
Stop Rondale Moore. If you stop Rondale Moore, you win the game. That's it. They've got the quarterback's okay, but they've got one playmaker on offense who's a real playmaker, and it's Rondale Moore. If you stop him, which Gladney should never move from him the whole day, wherever he is, go there, and we're going to win. If we do that, we win.
Yeah. Nathan, what about you?
They made the announcement that their quarterback had a mild concussion. And then if he can't play Saturday, they're going to play a true freshman quarterback who hasn't thrown a pass in a game yet.
I'm pretty sure they said he's starting now.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm almost positive. Okay. It's at least floating around message boards. But okay.
I know it was mild to moderate, whatever. So I don't know if it's kind of like day-to-day for him. They might have made the announcement that he's starting now, but I don't. Last time I saw, he was still moderate, so
he did might. Did he suffer that concussion during the Vanderbilt game?
He could wake up and it just hurts one day. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I heard he wasn't going to play either. But okay. So my question though is, back when we knew he was still playing, we were the 3-point underdog. Like, why?
I think today it was 3.5 points before that.
We saw Pine Bluff and only scored 39.
Exactly. Right. We did.
Oh.
That's it.
And we go to Purdue.
Hey, Coach P loves a negative spirit, though.
Yeah. And Coach P always is going to play up that we're only going to win by one thing. Yeah. Like, I mean, we're never going to get great spreads, all right? Our coach literally.
I'm pretty sure there were times Coach P told us that we were underdogs when we weren't.
I'm sure there are times when Coach P looked at the spread and was like, "Okay, yeah, y'all are through scoring because I want." he didn't want to beat the spread just on purpose. How many times has that happened where he just flat out doesn't kick the field goal? We're just not going to kick it because it would be, we don't want to run up the score. But really, I think it's just because he didn't want to beat the spread.
He did that against Tech.
Yeah, was that that 82-point game where he ran out of fireworks? Just started taking knees. I think he was upset at that game at one point in time
because
somebody broke. I forgot who it was, but somebody broke through.
Chris Hackett broke coverage like the second play of the game, and they scored super early. I remember like it was yesterday, and then because that was like the one game I ever got to sit in the good seats in the club's level, and I was like, well, so we scored 82. I should be here every week, right? Good luck.
Yeah, I remember that game. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Any game you run out of fireworks is a good game.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Lynn, obviously there's not a whole lot that we outside of what Hunter and Nathan just mentioned. But, Shannon, take us through. What do you think Frogs are going to see on Saturday against Purdue?
Well, again, after the first week, speak with me and Landry, we're going back and forth. I was like, you know what? At number 40 is pretty good, Mr. Moore. He's solid. I said, but they try to give him the ball too much. I mean, it's anytime they had any success, it was always through him. And now with the quarterback being a question mark, let's just say the true freshman plays. Well, not for him, because Coach Patterson's going to take away 40. And he's going to dial up and put some pressure on that quarterback. He's going to break him down pretty easy, quick, and right now. And so with those two things being the hindrance, with the full play going there, I would hope TC would play better. But listen, we still have to play better. But Gary's going to eliminate Mr. Moore. And if that freshman plays, then listen, it's going to be a long day for him. And not just saying that because I'm a Frog, but we have to play better than what we played. I'm assuming after a bye week, coming off a bye, we will play better. We usually do for the most part. So, and we're again healthy. And so I expect for us to get around and put up some points and really shut them down.
Yeah, if you're one dimensional against Coach B, he's gonna take his advantage of that.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defense is gonna shut them down. I don't think there's gonna be much that the Boilermaker offense is gonna be able to do in this game.
Unless that freshman comes out and he's just unreal for some reason.
That could be
beginner luck.
Yeah. We've seen it before in the past, but chances are
yeah.
If they're worried about starting a guy who has a concussion, I'm not sure if they have that much confidence in the true freshman. But speaking of true freshmen, quarterback for the Frogs, what do y'all think?
Coach P called us all out today, but I'm still saying I'm right and he's wrong. that I want Max Dugan to start like right now because he's the future.
Do you think we'll finally get to that point? Do you think he's actually going to start him on Saturday?
No, he's not going to start this week. I don't think he'll start versus SMU, but he could start by the fourth or fifth game, I think. Yeah. I just think he's too good. There's just a difference in his plays and Delton's plays. I mean, they don't even run the same playbook. You didn't see a throw over the middle, really. Like, they were letting Dugan do whatever he wanted, and he was doing pretty well at it for a true freshman. But Delton's just not the guy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Shannon, I saw that too. I saw a lot of crossing patterns. I saw over the middle, deep pass over the middle with Dugan. I didn't see that at all. Dugan, sorry, I'm going to do that all season long. Didn't see that with Delton at all. In fact, I was talking to an ex-Frog this evening at my son's baseball game, and we were talking about just, he mentioned, Delton's throws are, he called them pedestrian, but they don't quite have the same zip. They don't quite have the same pop coming out of his hand like Dugan has. What do you think, Shannon?
Nope, I'm going to stick to what I said last week. I just think Dugan's the guy. Something, even if they're equal, something out. He just has the it factor over him. He makes plays. He's instinctive, and I like that about him. And so even if it's just instincts alone and just making plays out of nothing, that's the guy. That's what he did. We saw him do that. And so with me, you just have to roll with that guy until he puts us in the bind or whatever the case may be. Get him experience, get him comp, get him build that comp. Let's be your guy right now. We need to be rolling with that guy by the time we get to this.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's the guy by the time we get to conference play, but we'll see how that goes. I don't know, Nathan, you know, Coach P, you know, in this current modern era, I mean, you know how much he likes having experience at that particular spot. What do you think? Do you think we're going to see Dugan at all in the next couple of games, or do you think he's going to ride Delton?
I think we'll see both. I don't think he's going to say, like, hey, this is who we're going with. While we're still in non-conference, I think for Purdue and SMU, they'll both play. And then just over the course of the next two games, if one of them, if they can't handle not turning the ball over, because that's what it comes down to, is Coach P's defense has to be on the field. He's not going to play you more than they need to be. So I think that it comes down to that. Just over the next couple of weeks, who's going to turn the ball over more?
Yeah.
Very good points. Very good points. Well, all right. So real quick to close this out tonight, let's just go ahead and do a quick score prediction. And Jack, are you up to giving us a score prediction tonight on TCU-Purdue?
Yes, I am.
Why don't we go ahead and start with you as the honorary guest? And what do you think?
Go ahead.
No, by all means.
35-10.
35-10.
Mm-hmm.
Frogs.
Absolutely. I think Blacklock and Bethley are going to just be in that backfield a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. Blacklock definitely needs kind of a rebound after the previous week's game. So
yeah. And especially if it's that freshman quarterback, he's going to be seeing all kind of stuff from Coach P.
Very good. Nathan, what do you think?
I'm going to go 28-20 Frogs.
Ooh, you were thinking it's going to be a close game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not like they kind of come close at the end. You think it's going to be a bit of a dogfight?
I think it'll be a dogfight.
Interesting. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Shannon, what do you have?
37-17 Frogs.
37-17?
14.
14. 14. Okay. Like a little more confidence there on the offense. That's good. And Hunter?
Well, I didn't say offense. Defense is going to be.
Hold on. Oh, wait. Sorry. I was assuming that was all offense. You're going to pick up defensive scores here.
Defense was a touchdown.
Good.
So the defense guy thinks defense is going to score a touchdown. All right. Moving on to Hunter. Hunter, what do you think?
I'm very similar to those guys. I'm 35-17. I think we'll play better on offense. They'll get a couple big plays maybe, but in the end, it's not going to matter.
Okay. Very good. Ryan, why don't you close us out?
28-17.
All right. A little bit closer game, too. I'm going to be with Hunter on this one. I'm definitely thinking this is going to be a 35-38 score game. And I think Purdue's going to probably be, I'm with Shannon, 14 on that. I think we will see Song out there to kick at least one field goal in this game, maybe two. So I think the Frogs win by at least two or three scores. So it'll be a good one. Be one to watch. And Ryan, are you still heading up to Purdue this week?
Yes, we are. We're leaving Thursday. We're doing the alumni trip. So it's going to be amazing. Thursday night is a cruise out on the river. And we get to wear cocktail attire. And then Friday night is we're staying in Chicago. So it is a baseball game. And then, of course, Saturday is the football game. So, and then after that, on Sunday, Mike and I are flying to New York City. We're going to go watch the Browns play. That's his favorite team. So, yeah. So it's going to be.
Sucked the other day.
Yeah. I should say, hopefully they have a much better game.
Browns are going 7-8.
Colin. 7-8. Hopefully they won't.
I tell you what, I think a lot of Browns fans would take that just to get started. Yeah. It wouldn't meet their expectations, but I think they like it.
Did you guys see OBJ pulled a Kevontae Turpin and wore his watch during the game? He wore a $350,000 watch during the game Sunday.
$350,000 watch?
Yeah, $350,000.
I don't know why that's allowed.
It's not technically, they say you can wear jewelry, but no hard objects. And so that one's going to get taken away now, but yeah, he wore a super expensive watch during the game.
That's crazy.
He's a team player.
Guess when you can buy another one, it's okay.
I don't know. I don't know about throwing away $350,000 just because you have a watch. I got upset when I scratched my Fossil watch the other day. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah, I know.
Can't imagine playing with a $50,000 watch on the gridiron. But anyway, So I think with that, we've come to the end of our podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can pretty much find the podcast anywhere podcasts today are found. And, of course, if you are on iTunes, if you wouldn't mind just going on there and giving us a 5-star review, it helps the podcast become discoverable and introduces it to all sorts of individuals on the iTunes platform. And, of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us. And you can find Killer Frogs on all of your major social media networks, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast, and it is time for all of us to get the frogs up, and we get to say,
go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
Frog. Jack, thanks again for coming on tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you. Good. Anytime for you.
Oh, good.
Love you, man.
Thank you.